Look at part one.
You will hear a tour guide talking to some tourists about the town of Medbury. For each question, fill in the missing information in the numbered space. You will hear the recording twice.
You now have 20 seconds to look at part one. Now we are ready to start.
As you can see from the signs, this was Medbury's old cheese market. It's been a market since 1540. Country people used to bring cheese and butter and things here to sell. But since 1970, we've had the supermarkets, of course, and so this has been a craft market since 1982. If you want to take presents home, there are plenty of things to choose from, like these hand-painted T-shirts or those traditional baskets. But personally, I'd advise you to look first at the stall over there selling jewellery. You really won't find anything like it anywhere else. Now, this town was also well known for its leather goods, especially shoes. That long building over there was the factory where they were made. It's become a museum because most of the shoes we buy now are made abroad. There'll be time to go and look round it if you want to, and it's quite interesting actually. If you need to change some money before you go shopping, you'll find a bank over there beside the cinema. If that one's busy, there's another one, but it's a few minutes walk. It's opposite the park. We'll meet at 4:30. We're taking the coach back to London today, as we want to visit somewhere else on the way back. But if you come here again from London, the quickest way to get here is by train. The station is just down the road. You can just see the taxi rank outside. There's a kiosk in the centre of the market here where you can get information about the town. Do go and ask some questions. If you want a map, there's a newsagent over there, and just behind the town hall is a very nice cafe. Okay then, have a good afternoon, and I'll see you here at 4:30.
Now listen again.
As you can see from the signs, this was Medbury's old cheese market. It's been a market since 1540. Country people used to bring cheese and butter and things here to sell. But since 1970, we've had the supermarkets, of course, and so this has been a craft market since 1982. If you want to take presents home, there are plenty of things to choose from, like these hand-painted T-shirts or those traditional baskets. But personally, I'd advise you to look first at the stall over there selling jewellery. You really won't find anything like it anywhere else. Now, this town was also well known for its leather goods, especially shoes. That long building over there was the factory where they were made. It's become a museum because most of the shoes we buy now are made abroad. There'll be time to go and look round it if you want to, and it's quite interesting actually. If you need to change some money before you go shopping, you'll find a bank over there beside the cinema. If that one's busy, there's another one, but it's a few minutes' walk. It's opposite the park. We'll meet at 4:30. We're taking the coach back to London today, as we want to visit somewhere else on the way back. But if you come here again from London, the quickest way to get here is by train. The station is just down the road. You can just see the taxi rank outside. There's a kiosk in the centre of the market here where you can get information about the town. Do go and ask some questions. If you want a map, there's a newsagent over there. And just behind the town hall is a very nice cafe. Okay then, have a good afternoon and I'll see you here at 4:30.
That is the end of part one. Now turn to part two.
You will hear an interview with Helen, who is a basketball player. For each question, put a tick in the correct box. You will hear the recording twice.
You now have 45 seconds to look at the questions for part two. Now we're ready to start.
Welcome to Sport People, the program where we talk to people interested in different sports. Today we have in the studio Helen, who plays basketball and lives in the United States with her twin sister. She's back in Britain for a holiday. Welcome, Helen. Tell us, where are you living in the States?
In North Carolina. Our hobby was playing basketball, and a friend of ours told us about colleges in the United States which train people in particular sports. We were both really excited at the idea, so we applied and we got places because we're good at basketball.
So you went to the United States straight from school?
No, we had started at college in England. The lectures and everything were free there, but we had to pay for our training, which was really expensive. At the American college, everything is free, except for our accommodation.
Oh.
We don't pay for our courses, and we get free basketball training. We actually have our own trainer.
And in return, you play in their college team. And what about the rest of the team? What are they like?
Fine. We get on well. We're lucky we've never had to stop playing because of injuries. Quite a few in the team have had to stop playing because they hurt themselves. We aren't very tall in comparison to the rest of the team. In fact, we're the smallest. But we're just as strong as them, maybe even stronger.
And what's it like being a sports student?
Well, some people think because we're training and playing matches, we don't have to study hard, but that's not true. We study sports science and medicine, as well as all the other subjects, so we study harder, in fact. And if we miss any of our classes, we're not allowed to play in the team.
Oh, I nearly forgot to ask. When did you first start playing basketball?
We've been in the United States since last August, and we'll be there for at least 4 years. But we started playing 6 years ago, after watching our brother in matches. He still plays, and he started playing more than 10 years ago. His team isn't as good as ours, of course.
And what about your free time?
I spend most of my time studying and training. I'm not really interested in shopping, like most of my friends. My sister and I get quite tired. So when we have free time, we usually sit in our room by ourselves watching TV. We share a room and we look after each other as we're so far from home.
Now listen again. Welcome to Sport People, the programme where we talk to people interested in different sports. Today we have in the studio Helen, who plays basketball and lives in the United States with her twin sister. She's back in Britain for a holiday. Welcome, Helen. Tell us, where are you living in the States?
In North Carolina. Our hobby was playing basketball, and a friend of ours told us about colleges in the United States which train people in particular sports. We were both really excited at the idea, So we applied and we got places because we're good at basketball.
So you went to the United States straight from school?
No, we had started at college in England. The lectures and everything were free there, but we had to pay for our training, which was really expensive. At the American college, everything is free, except for our accommodation.
Oh.
We don't pay for our courses and we get free basketball training. We actually have our own trainer.
And in return, you play in their college team. And what about the rest of the team? What are they like?
Fine. We get on well. We're lucky we've never had to stop playing because of injuries. Quite a few in the team have had to stop playing because they hurt themselves. We aren't very tall in comparison to the rest of the team. In fact, we're the smallest. But we're just as strong as them, maybe even stronger.
And what's it like being a sports student?
Well, some people think because we're training and playing matches, we don't have to study hard. But that's not true. We study sports science and medicine, as well as all the other subjects, so we study harder, in fact. And if we miss any of our classes, we're not allowed to play in the team.
Oh, I nearly forgot to ask. When did you first start playing basketball?
We've been in the United States since last August, and we'll be there for at least 4 years. But we started playing 6 years ago. After watching our brother in matches. He still plays, and he started playing more than 10 years ago. His team isn't as good as ours, of course.
And what about your free time?
I spend most of my time studying and training. I'm not really interested in shopping, like most of my friends. My sister and I get quite tired, so when we have free time, we usually sit in our room by ourselves, watching TV. We share a room and we look after each other, as we're so far from home.
That is the end of part two. Now turn to part three.
You'll hear descriptions of five different days from the itinerary of a tour of Russia. For questions, choose from the list A to F, which statement applies to each day. Use the letters only once. There is one extra letter, which you do not need to use. You now have 30 seconds to look at part three.
Now we're ready to start. Listen carefully. You will hear the recording twice.
Day one.
The day's sightseeing programme includes a visit to the Kremlin to see the cathedrals of the Annunciation, the Assumption, and the Archangel Michael. There is a guided tour of these magnificent and historic churches. This is followed by a guided tour of the Armoury Museum, with its fine collection of imperial weapons and the state carriages formerly used by the Tsars. A mystery excursion is planned after dark in the heart of Moscow.
Day 2.
A morning drive around St. Petersburg gives the opportunity for you to see many of its imperial and aristocratic palaces, including the great Baroque complex of Smolny Convent, the great palace built for the Empress Elizabeth, the Palace of Pavlovsk, and the Hermitage Museum. There are optional afternoon visits to the Peter and Paul Fortress Cathedral or to a concert of Baroque music at the Great Church of St. Isaac. Some of the finest musicians in the city will perform pieces by great Russian composers.
Day 3.
Today we visit the historic Yaroslavl, a well-preserved and fascinating city. In the centre of this city you will see the lovely church of Elijat. The frescoes on the walls inside the church are magnificent, and some date from as early as the 14th century. A delicious banquet lunch is provided for us in the town hall as guests of the mayor. We are then driven back to our vessel moored on the Neva River and depart for the island of Kizi in Lake Onega. Here you'll see some picturesque villages with traditional houses and gardens.
Day 4.
Having arrived on the island of Kizi in Lake Onega late the previous night, early risers can see the imposing 18th century church at its very best, with the rising sun reflected off its 22 golden domes. This building is a marvel of Russian wooden architecture. Later in the day, there is a visit to the town, with its restored 18th century buildings. The town has an excellent bookshop and local market, where you can find hand-knitted and crochet work of the finest traditional quality at very reasonable prices to take home as presents.
Day 5.
Today's programme is quite relaxing. Guests are free to go on their own sightseeing or shopping trips in St. Petersburg. Alternatively, you can relax in the hotel's magnificent health centre, where saunas and massages are available, or sample the delights of the hotel's 5-star restaurant, which has magnificent views, both of the River Neva and St. Petersburg itself. Guests will leave the hotel in the early evening for the airport, giving you plenty of time for duty-free shopping, before departure for London at 9:30.
Now you'll hear part 3 again. Day 1.
The day's sightseeing programme includes a visit to the Kremlin to see the cathedrals of the Annunciation, the Assumption, and the Archangel Michael. There is a guided tour of these magnificent and historic churches. This is followed by a guided tour of the Armoury Museum, with its fine collection of imperial weapons and the state carriages formerly used by the Tsars. A mystery excursion is planned after dark in the heart of Moscow.
Day 2.
A morning drive around St. Petersburg gives the opportunity for you to see many of its imperial and aristocratic palaces, including the great Baroque complex of Smolny Convent, the great palace built for the Empress Elizabeth, the Palace of Pavlovsk, and the Hermitage Museum. There are optional afternoon visits to the Peter and Paul Fortress Cathedral, or to a concert of Baroque music at the Great Church of St. Isaac. Some of the finest musicians in the city will perform pieces by great Russian composers.
Day 3.
Today we visit the historic Yaroslavl, a well-preserved and fascinating city. In the centre of this city you will see the lovely church of Elijat. The frescoes on the walls inside the church are magnificent, and some date from as early as the 14th century. A delicious banquet lunch is provided for us in the town hall as guests of the mayor. We are then driven back to our vessel moored on the Neva River and depart for the island of Kizi in Lake Onega. Here you'll see some picturesque villages with traditional houses and gardens.
Day 4.
Having arrived on the island of Kizi in Lake Onega late the previous night, early risers can see the imposing 18th century church at its very best, with the rising sun reflected off its 22 golden domes. This building is a marvel of Russian wooden architecture. Later in the day, there is a visit to the town, with its restored 18th century buildings. The town has an excellent bookshop and local market, where you can find hand-knitted and crochet work of the finest traditional quality at very reasonable prices to take home as presents.
Day 5.
Today's programme is quite relaxing. Guests are free to go on their own sightseeing or shopping trips in St. Petersburg. Alternatively, you can relax in the hotel's magnificent health centre, where saunas and massages are available, or sample the delights of the hotel's 5-star restaurant, which has magnificent views, both of the River Neva and St. Petersburg itself. Guests will leave the hotel in the early evening for the airport, giving you plenty of time for duty-free shopping, before departure for London at 9:30.
That's the end of part 3.